Dave, let's do this.
Hey, grandkids, it's Stunt Granny Audio 272. This is Kevin. On the other end is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good here. Is substituting for the indisposed Dusty Gavink, I assume we will just say.
Something always pops up. That man's life is busier than any one person's life should be. So, you know, these things happen.
Yep.
And, he maybe was wise in being indisposed, because there was, a couple of bright spots in an otherwise, dreary Raw. So,
dreary. That's a word for it. Absolutely.
Craptacular might be another word for it. I guess I was gonna ask you, do you want to start with something bad or something good?
Oh, something good? Alright. we might as well get that one thing out of the way.
Well, I thought that there were, I can think of three things offhand that I liked. So, I would imagine you're gonna lead off with the big surprise. Then is the one good thing that happened.
Yep. The big surprise was a huge match between the Bull and the Gator. I thought that was absolutely great. Horse bars, some just amazing athleticism in that match. A heck of a finish. Just really great stuff right there.
It was one of the tougher fought matches of the evening that involved little people dressed up in animal costumes. That was an interesting.
That wasn't even the worst thing on the show. it was quite that kind of night. I mean, I could not believe it when The Rock showed up. I'm almost angry that it actually made the show, because I was actually very close to just turning this thing off.
Yeah, that was kind of, I remembered you posting that somewhere, and I just kind of started laughing. Because it's one of those things that it seems like I make myself go through it no matter how bad it is now, because there's got to be a column for the site.
Right.
So it's just like, I think that's why when Jeremy pointed out how bad it was, at this point, like 2 months ago, it was just a bit of a revelation, because I'm just so used to just watching it. But last night, even, like, it was so obviously bad that it was really strange that The Rock showed up at that thing.
Yeah, that was the thing for me. It was just this completely horrible show. You know, all-time bad level, and then just this one shining bright spot that just seems like, like it was happening on a whole other different universe.
Yeah, it couldn't have been more strange, honestly, to have that in there. Because I'm trying to think of, and I didn't even think about this, because what happened right before that? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out. Oh my gosh, it was that. Oh, okay. I had forgotten the context, and it was the Hornswoggle and El Torito match that led into this.
That was a really amazing part. Yeah, it followed that.
Okay, again, like, I don't know why, but I just kind of, it didn't register with me last night when I was watching it. In that kind of a context, that's just ridiculous. And maybe it's just because there was a little bit of a buffer, because when that next segment came on, I just still can't tune into Lana when she's complaining. She is, as The Rock pointed out, very attractive.
You don't say.
But, yeah, I guess maybe one of the reasons The Rock also said that maybe it was in the back of my mind that I don't take her seriously because she dresses like a Russian streetwalker.
No. She dresses like Brigitte Nielsen in Rocky IV.
Oh, well, whomever she dresses like, I guess it does make it marginally hard to take her seriously. And I think The Rock summed that up well for me.
Yeah, she delivers her lines well, but you can tell she's playing a character. I'm not sure if I would say that it completely... You know, it's one of those things, you know, where she's like, obviously an American playing a Russian, but you can kind of tell.
Right. There have been a couple of times where you could, if you were looking for it, I think it's a little bit easier to tell sometimes. But, yeah. You know, I would guess that the majority of people aren't picking up on it because she's slipped a couple of times and said things in a little too American of an accent and right. Then quickly corrected her non-accent. So I think that, having that little buffer there between Mini Gator and, El Torito to The Rock showing up, like, I guess I kind of forgot about how terrible that thing was.
It was just so bad. I couldn't believe it. Like, I mean, it was just such a weird show in that it seemed like they were stalling for time because they didn't want to bring The Rock out until the halftime of the football game. Yet there were, like, two matches in a row, the Divas match, the Brie Bella match, and a Swagger versus Tyson Kidd that didn't even get full entrances. So it was like they were stalling, but they were running out of time at the same time. It was very weird like that. Just very disorganized in a way that you don't think of for WWE.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't even think about that. Oh yeah, cause I actually, the Swagger Kid match was somewhat decent.
Yeah, actually, it really was the one before the whole Bella storyline. That whole thing was just completely just rushed. Maybe not, you know, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. But still, but yeah, just, you know, between, you know. You know, Brie Bella already being in the ring, not even getting a full entrance. Nikki not even getting to say anything while having a microphone in her hand. And, you know, and the abruptness of the match.
I've got to say, with those two, their roles are, like, I just watched one of the older Total Divas. And it's the one where Brie completely freaks out and wants to buy a bed and breakfast, like, because they're off of work for like 2 weeks. And it just has to be that she's still the babyface because she's married to Daniel Bryan. And I guess since Nikki is only dating Cena, she's allowed to turn. Brie is such an airhead on Total Divas. And she seems like the one that should be the heel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the whole thing is very—it's been ass backwards from the start. I mean, Brie started being, you know, unlikable from like week two of the build up of the Stephanie match, and it's continuing here. I mean, not that Nikki's all that likable, which makes the whole thing
just really tough. What'd you say there, though?
A complete clusterfuck.
Oh, clusterfuck, yeah. I guess tough is a little nicer of a word. Yeah,
yeah,
I, I'm not sure I would, I don't know, just, I guess just on Total Divas, that episode itself, I was just like, okay, Nikki's, well, and that's, actually, that's the problem, is she is really an airhead. And, yeah, that just doesn't go too well. She's just like, oh, Brie has an idea, I'll go with it.
Yeah, well, that's supposed to be their relationship, that Brie is the responsible one, but then some, but then there's plenty of things that, you know, that doesn't ring true.
Yeah, and that situation was certainly one of them. Like, you're a dumbass. Like, you don't need to be doing that, like, right away. Good gravy.
But that was also the story of the show.
Yeah.
It was very bad. And Total Divas so far this season has been pretty bad. You know, they're doubling down on the on the fake reality, and it's really, really good. It's really noticeable.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the thing that is weird to me is that if you're going to use that and you're going to do that writing and you're going to kind of book in tandem with that, I don't get why they ordered things the way they did, you know, or why they just didn't make Brie a heel and have Nikki be the face, I guess. That to me is where it, whether the show itself is bad, I guess, is one issue. But I mean, if you're trying to continue the storylines, like, you're fucking it up in both places, not just one.
Right. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And the fact that there's so many months lag between Total Divas and Raw, you know, that they're kind of trying to piece things together from, you know, Total Divas filming and kind of and correlate that with what's going on in, you know, WWE storylines. It just doesn't work. And, you know, I do think that, you know, it's been said recently that they won't let someone on Total Divas ever be the Divas champion because what do we do? I mean, you know, they're shooting that show, you know, 2 or 3 months in advance. We can't be planning on having still, someone still being the champion, months down the line.
Well, right, and well, I think they've kept things at a nice distance with the Total Divas being the ones that let's just say mostly can't wrestle.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely, I agree. Although the twists and turns in this Paige AJ storyline are they're starting to give me a headache. That's been pretty bad since SummerSlam, and it's only getting worse.
I guess I haven't minded it. I've been fine with it. It's well, just like anything else, it's just getting a little bit old just because they've had to go to it. Like, they don't have anyone else. Like, they've, and I guess that's another thing from Total Divas, they've just not shown any faith in Natalya whatsoever. So, like, she's the only person on that show that could wrestle, but, you know, they obviously don't think that she's that kind of a star. I mean, she's been around for a long-ass time.
They never have, and of course, as I've said many, 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 many times, I've got many issues with her character, how she's portrayed, how she, you know, portrays herself. So I can see those all coming together to make it, you know, she's not their ideal version of what a diva can do, even though she is easily the best wrestler of that division.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that the Paige and AJ thing, just because they're trying to out crazy each other, is just getting a little old.
Yeah, that whole part of the storyline has not been good with me since, you know, basically since SummerSlam, because they're just getting too cute. I don't, I, you know, I don't know who the face is or who the heel is. You know, AJ walked out on her partner last night. So what is, you know, so are we supposed to cheer her? Are we supposed to feel like Emma's a doofus? So we're not supposed to like her. We're supposed to cheer her getting left to 2-on-1. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't know how to define roles there, in the Divas division whatsoever. Like that, I mean, I know they, tend to like the gray characters too much, but, I don't know, maybe that's what they're just trying to do too much of. Like, it's just hard to, and I've said it before too, it's hard to do gray characters. Like, they've really got to be kind of organic. Like, a nice gray character would be one of the other few highlights of the show, Mr. Dean Ambrose.
Absolutely. I know, outside of this, the one, you know, special appearance on last night's show, Ambrose has been consistently been the highlight of Raw for the past 3 weeks. Unquestioned, you know, he has it. And he probably showed it last night as much as he ever has on a night when, boy did Roman Reigns not come off well at all. I don't know how many times they filmed that thing. I don't, you know, but, you know, if that was the best take they had, they probably just should have scrapped the whole thing.
Well, and that was just awkwardly short. Like, A, I thought it was advertised as a live appearance. So
yeah, and he said in a newspaper interview over the weekend that he was going to be there live. So I don't know what exactly changed there.
Yeah. So that part A makes it awkward just right off the bat, and then B, it lasted all of like a minute.
Right, and in that minute he came off very, you know, very corporate, very robotic. He had nothing to say. It was bad for him. It was a net negative for his progress. Even though obviously he's not wrestling right now, but it just was not. It was not the thing you should be doing with him.
I guess I just don't get why they even had that. Honestly, like, they haven't really updated anything on Daniel Bryan. I don't know if they're expecting to get some mileage out of showing guys rehabbing or something.
Right, no. No.
Oh my gosh, okay.
It was a really bad segment.
I just had an interesting idea hit me here.
Well, hit me with it.
Would it be, okay, now, you're not much of a sports guy, correct?
Correct. Very correct.
Okay. Well, in just about any major sport, they have some sort of minor league. So sometimes a guy gets a call up or, you know, is playing the big leagues, gets injured, and he's got to come back and play in the minor leagues for a game or two. And then they bring him back into the fold. I think that'd be kind of interesting to have some of the rehabbing wrestlers go to NXT for a match or two before they move back onto the main roster. Do you think that's an interesting idea or not?
I think it's an idea that could work. I mean, main roster guys make appearances on NXT, you know, regularly. It wouldn't hurt anything. Nothing at all. Although I do think that they're trying to separate the idea that NXT is purely a developmental program, you know, in the context of the show, it is its own entertainment brand. So that might be a little bit of a step back for what they want NXT to be, but for anyone to appear on NXT as a one-off or, you know, or twice or even. No, that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, Reigns is just—he's still got some work to do on the mic, but Like a bunch of other guys, his athleticism and definitely his appearance will help him stay above the fray, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he is, you know, he's a chosen one of the office. It's just, you know, hopefully, and this is where, you know, where the struggle will be for him is these 3 months where Dean Ambrose is just going to keep his... Yeah, I mean, Dean Ambrose is just, you know, as long as they don't do anything stupid, like have, you know, Cena beat Dean Ambrose clean en route to beating Seth Rollins clean later in the same night, Dean's momentum is going to roll, and he's going to, you know, build his popularity. He's already has more of a natural charisma to him, more of a connection to the audience than Roman Reigns, who is more of the office's choice, who's got, you know, a ton of potential. I mean, I like the guy a lot. I think, you know, but they haven't found their, you know, they haven't found Reigns' thing yet. I mean, they it's like they try to, you know, fit everyone into a mold of, like, you know the corporate good guy, you know, i.e. John Cena, but, you know, when Reigns is, he's that silent, cool type. I think that, you know, they have to find, he has to, but, you know, they don't have to find, he has to, they have to let him find his voice.
Right.
And Ambrose has his voice, and it's reaching the audience, seems to be reaching the audience loud and clear right now.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, I guess it always just seems so fixable, but sometimes it just doesn't end up getting fixed. So it'll be interesting to, you know, keep an eye on him in the coming, you know, years. I mean, they're definitely not going to give up on him anytime soon, so.
No, not at all. But for him to be ready, for example, for a WrestleMania main event, we shall see. I mean, I've kind of gone both ways on the injury with Reigns, thinking that, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise with him being removed from the fall doldrums and not part of this bad, you know, period of TV. But at the same time, he's not able to develop in the ring or on the microphone on a regular basis. While Dean Ambrose is stepping up big time.
Yeah, that that is kind of another interesting thing, is that you really have the chance to shine right now, because there were, again, very few bright spots, and Dean Ambrose was certainly among them. I think Seth Rollins is still providing what he needs to provide.
Definitely.
Villain.
Definitely, Rollins has been very good in his role. He's almost the de facto number one heel right now, with even Randy Orton playing subservient to him, which is very interesting. I almost wonder how, you know, in real life, how, you know, in the locker room, you know, what Randy Orton thinks about that.
Yeah, that's I try not to cross my conversations with Jeremy into the audios too much, but yeah, we kind of brought that topic up, so similar one to that.
Right. I mean, the stipulation for the match, even though they haven't completely, you know, stated it out yet, I think it will probably be clear by this time next week, is that while the winner of, you know, Cena versus Ambrose gets Rollins, the loser is going to get Orton, you know. So he's literally the booby prize in this thing, although I have no clue how they expect that anyone's going to care about the loser of Cena versus Ambrose versus Randy Orton in a Hell in a Cell match.
Oh my God, why? That should not be in a Hell in a Cell, though. But,
this event has been pretty much, you know, made off of having two cell matches, so at least two.
Right. It
Rest had speech, so.
I guess it what did it does give Orton some type of bump there that that he wouldn't otherwise get. I guess that we were saying what do you do for him, and I guess that's one way to appease him. The guy's still in a main event match, which I
That's the thing, but it will be
suppose
kind of a
isn't.
match that will be, that's set up in probably the worst way possible. A, you lost. Now you get to face Randy Orton. I mean, it almost would make more sense if it was a handicap match with Orton and Kane, because that way at least that's a punishment for the guy who loses and not a punishment for Randy Orton.
Yeah, that would make some sense to do it that way. Just because both Ambrose and Cena have been a pain in the authorities' side. To stick it to the loser of the match would probably work out, but they're probably gonna use Kane in some type of capacity in the in the big match at the end, so you can't use them twice in the same evening.
Right. I am very, it's kind of like a, kind of a desperation, show type of thing to have your top two baby faces having to wrestle twice in one night, once against each other. But I'm interested in seeing how this pans out, especially that Cena Ambrose match, how they do it, who goes over. I mean, obviously, I think people mostly want to see Ambrose versus Rollins in the Cell. But the only problem with that is, by the way this is being set up, is that will also mean that John Cena is going to face Randy Orton in the Cell for the millionth time, and that could be brutal. Whereas if Cena does go over, you at least get two fairly fresh, singles matches in the Cell. But you hurt Ambrose at the same time, depending on how the finish of Cena versus Ambrose goes.
Yeah, that is kind of an interesting thing. I hadn't really thought of the they kind of booked the match, and I hadn't thought of the implications of it. And because I was sitting there going, "Oh yeah, it'll be Cena and Orton in the cell then," but it's just like I don't know. I mean, they always wrestle decent matches. It's never anything of the spectacular variety, because both of them are better off when they have a better in-ring opponent with them to help really bring out their best. Because I think that CM Punk and John Cena did some good work. Randy Orton has had some good matches over the years. But it always seems to benefit them to have someone else in there.
Right, absolutely. I don't think that any way, it goes down that we're left without, good matches. That's kind of, I guess at the point where I'm at right now is that, people wondering what should the WWE do to get out of this, this stale period. What should they do? What should they do? I'm on the verge of saying, and this may be the subject of a stunt creative blog of mine in the future. But the answer is do nothing.
Oh, do nothing? Like take
Just
time off?
keep going. Just keep going, doing what they're doing. Don't do it. Make any desperation moves. Don't bring Brock. Leave Brock out of it.
Oh.
Just get to the next. Just get to the next 3 months.
Well.
They've got their gimmick lined up for Hell in a Cell. Survivor Series, you can go back to the team elimination concept, and then you go get another gimmick pay-per-view the next month. So, just keep going with what you're doing. Maybe take out the stupid stuff from the shows, but otherwise, it's the last 3 months of the year. You really don't need to go balls out, before Rumble season.
Well, yeah, that's become quite clear that they don't want to do anything whatsoever right now.
But next
So
Monday, Houdini leaks and Todd Chrisley guest star on Monday Night Raw, so this could be another classic episode right there.
I wonder
hashtag
what
class not ass.
Well, that's I honestly couldn't believe that somehow Mini Gator versus El Torito got more heat than Kathy Lee and Hoda did.
Oh, they got heat.
They got heat.
they got the go away heat. They got the Xbox heat.
Oh. Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
I was literally on the phone when that segment came on. So I did not I could see them breaking wine bottles off on their asses, but I couldn't hear what they were saying, and I'm pretty thankful for that, and I had no reason to go back and actually hear the segment.
Nah, there's no reason to go back and do that at all. It's unnecessary. I sat through it once. I don't advise anyone sit through it any more than once. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I was honestly ready for the crowd to boo Joan London when she came out.
Well, thankfully they. Oh man, that would have just been. At that point, we just shut down the website. None of us could ever claim ourselves to be wrestling fans ever again in our lives. just with that shame hanging over our heads.
Yeah, she was a little more well received.
Yeah, just a little bit, just a little bit, and I was saying the whole week that was all they needed. They did not need to lower. I can't believe I'm saying that. You know, WWE lowering themselves. They did not need to lower that level or cross that. You know, with cross that demographic line that they're never gonna have anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing is that. I understand sending him on to their show.
Oh yeah, absolutely, of course.
I don't understand reciprocating. Like, it's just a little strange to me.
Yeah, no, they had no place there at all. It was out of place. I think they're lucky it didn't get any more ugly than it did with the crowd reaction, especially since, Kathy Lee Gifford is such a polarizing personality, which I'm not even sure if those are the right words, but it's to be polarizing personality. Some people have to actually love that person.
Well, I know that show is on because I've heard it mentioned from time to time. But I honestly don't think about Kathy Lee. Like, I don't have the wherewithal to be worried about, to be angry still at Kathy Lee for being a dumbass back in the day with Regis.
Yeah, it has been about 15 years, actually. She's kind of really not existed other than on this show that, this third hour of the Today Show that's an hour after the main Today Show goes off the air. That, it has its audience. I guess it's inoffensive, but it was offensive to have them on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, I'm going to go with that bad pairing to go with one good pairing that came on Raw, which is Edge and Christian.
It was definitely good to see them back. 5 second pose. Every time I see Edge nowadays, he's definitely a man who's moved on with his life, but he's got to, really, get himself, work to get himself, back into, being Edge. I mean, thankfully he had Christian to play off of, and they were, doing their old, goofball routine, and not doing anything like, rated R, serious Edge. I don't even know if he even really has that in him anymore.
Oh, I'm fine with Goofy Edge. There's no reason to have him need to be serious. So, and I've because I feel like has he been on someone else? Was he on Jericho's podcast? Yeah, he co-hosted with Paul Heyman there that time.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. He just seems like, yeah, I mean, he does seem happy with where he's at, like, which is awesome
he's
for him.
Absolutely happy. Happy for him. It's good to get out of wrestling, well, not unscathed, because obviously he's got a very serious neck injury that has kind of prohibits him from, probably, I'm assuming, a lot of things, including stunts on Haven. But, you know, he's got a good life going for himself, so. He's a post-wrestling success story, you know, if there ever was one, but that's someone else on, you know, that we're going to talk about, but, you know, Ed's got a good little thing going for himself. That's really good for him. It was nice to see him and Christian back together.
Did you,
have you watched that show yet?
No.
The anniversary of SmackDown special that they hosted?
No, I have not.
It was pretty good.
Okay, so you did?
Yeah.
Did they, did they have a lot of time with new skit on it, or did they, was it mostly old stuff?
The clips were all old stuff with them doing the wraparounds in the studio.
Okay.
You know, they were themselves. They kind of had the running gag where Edge would talk about his great tag team championship win of all time, and it was, you know, he's winning the titles with Hogan and Christian getting all mad at him. Like, we won the titles together 7 times. You only won those only once. Come on.
Oh. Yeah, I got a chuckle because Ben Roethlisberger said something about hosting. He congratulated SmackDown on 15 years of being around, and he said how much he loved hosting it. I forget when that the hell was.
I don't remember. I remember the episode where they had the Green Bay Packers on after they won the Super Bowl. I do not remember Roethlisberger on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He was on Raw. He was on a...
But that's...
Guest of Raw, that's right.
Yeah, I thought it was just...
I'm not vaguely remembering that. I don't think he was ever on SmackDown, so no. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know what show he was on.
Yeah, I don't know if he did the or mentioned the hosting part, but it just he congratulated them on the SmackDown thing, which I thought was a little odd.
That's WWE calling in all their celebrity favorites to make it seem like, you know,
they're relevant.
The SmackDown 15th anniversary show, which, by the way, small spoiler, is going to feature, well. I'll describe the opening segment involves Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis going back and turning to go back and forth about who can make the biggest tag team match, playa. And Teddy Long makes a 15-man tag match. Well, 14 men and then a bull and an alligator on each side. So that should be quite interesting to see.
Yep, okay, so that's involved in the SmackDown 15th anniversary, huh?
Yep, a 15-man tag, or a 14-and-a-half man tag, however they're going to call it.
Oh, jeez. Alrighty, then. I think I'm about done. Well, I wasn't the one that hung up earlier.
Oh, come on. you know what? That is what I was saying earlier about my idea about, you know, do nothing. You know, the bull versus the alligator, that was the one where I just kind of broke it. I'm like, fine, have at it. This next 3 months is irrelevant anyway, so let's just do whatever.
I was just sitting there going, do you know how many times I've seen this match already? Like, that's the only thing that was running through my head. Like, I wasn't worried about them being that he was dressed up as an alligator, honestly. Like, it was just one of those things. Just like, dude, they had this as a feud when Hornswoggle was with Heath Slater in 3MB.
Right, yeah. It's just, they've completely forgotten the part where they got together and they were supposed to be dating Summer Rae and double dating Summer Rae and Layla. I guess there were there was a dinner date skit that was filmed but never even aired because they decided to, you know, turn Summer and Layla full heel and pretend that, you know, Hornswoggle and Torito never got together at all when they were going against Fandango with Summer and Layla.
Oh. Well, shit, I forgot about that part.
Well, good for you.
Thanks for the unfortunate reminder. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was bad. Just, I didn't want to, like, I just don't want to see it. Like, and I'm glad that everyone piped up the way that they did, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a New York crowd, and, you know, good for them for speaking up, for saying it, because, I mean, it wasn't even perversely entertaining like the segment last week with Adam Rose, with them, all them, Adam Rose, the Money, and Jesse Jackson. Yes, I actually just used those words.
Well, that wasn't a segment.
That was just so wacky with perversely entertaining, but this was just stupid. It just felt all the things that you just know that, you know, Vince McMahon is in the back slapping his knee going, ha, 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 over. With not anything that would actually be funny to anyone else.
Yeah, it still is even, like, just for a childish humor, like, I'm still just going, no. Like, there are some things that I just go, okay, I understand that people think this is funny. I don't get it. And I just kind of walk away from it.
Right.
This is just like, No.
Exactly. I agree. I agree completely. It was just horrible. I mean, and I felt, you know, I felt bad for the little guys, because, you know, in their previous feud, they fought like hell to be able to do, you know, one or two actual matches, but, you know, you could tell on this one, you know, it was little people comedy. You know, they weren't allowed. They were banned from even, you know, other than, you know, Torito's moonsault. They were banned from doing anything remotely serious in that match.
Yeah. It doesn't help that everyone involved is a comedy act, because Los Matadores don't really get airtime except when El Torito's on. I mean, they get a tag match every blue moon or every main event, but I'm not sure that counts. And Slater and Gator, really funny. They're both really entertaining guys.
Slater's been defined down, although, you know, God bless him for he throws himself into his role, you know, completely 100%. He's definitely a very entertaining guy. I think Titus is a guy who, you know, got a late start, and I think they don't want to seriously push, you know, someone his age with his still kind of lack of experience.
Right. Yeah, they're useful guys, and I don't think that they're going to be going anywhere, but to have them be the backdrop to some even worse shenanigans isn't going to help them out.
Right, no. I mean, on a better show as a comedic interlude, it might not have, wouldn't have been as, probably as bad, as, you know, badly received as it was. But the fact is, it was following just a, really, it was following a, you know, somehow an hour earlier, a segment that was somehow even worse than that, and then just, you know, deathly boring stuff, you know, in between. For, you know, essentially, the opening segment was, you know, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, was essentially almost split into two at the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour. There was nothing they accomplished between the opening segment and the 9 o'clock hour segment with Cena and Ambrose that could not have been combined into one segment. I don't believe. Instead, it was two, you know, 15-minute segments of the show to establish that Cena and Ambrose, they want Rollins, and they can't get along.
Right. Yeah, they did pretty much, because I was just like, because I saw Ambrose coming out, and I was just like, oh, is that match next?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of myself, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, he starts talking, I'm just like, oh, he's calling out John Cena now? And that's where it's just like...
Were they in the ring together? An hour ago?
Oh, this is interesting. And I just kind of let it slide. I don't know why, because it was just kind of a stupid thing to do. You know, it, like you said, it was a repeat segment for better or worse. Jeez, oh Pete. Just bad segments galore. Okay. Well, we are at that point, I suppose. To talk about The Rock. Just looking at our little timeline here. And we can
talk
fit in
about it.
The Rock's good at his job.
Really? According to our colleague Jeremy Mays, it was just okay last night. but that's a stunt granny lunch conversation for another day, I assume.
Yeah.
Unless I missed today's. I don't think I did.
No, I didn't post it yet. I work on it after I finish this.
Oh, okay. All right. So that will be up around the same time, so people can... Yeah, I
use it to buy myself time to do the write-up for this.
But I believe I got the Cliff Notes version of what Jeremy is going to say in that conversation, as he was commenting on a Facebook status of our other colleague, Shahid Abdul Hadi.
Yeah.
Facebook wars, baby.
I could see in some ways saying that the one reason the segment was good was that I know that Stunt Granny follows The Rock. I do not follow The Rock, and that's the account that I look at more.
Yeah, I do. I did see that. I saw his little countdown, and I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't think it was that important. But yeah, it was definitely. I was spoiled. He was spoiled for me by The Rock himself about 10 seconds before he went out there.
Oh, see, yeah, I definitely was not paying attention. So, well, yeah, I didn't see that he was in New York City. The surprise aspect of it to me was huge. Like, I had no idea he was in New York City. So the fact that he showed up just at all.
I mean, blew the roof off the joint. You know, he was good to great at what he did. You know, where I'm going to. Well, once again, you know, stuntgranny.com. I'm sure, you know, Jeremy's opinion of the segment will be out there by the time people are listening to this, so people can see what I'm kind of counterpointing right now, is that, you know, the points Jeremy was making is that, you know, Rusev really didn't get anything out of the segment. You know, to me, that's kind of a wait-and-see approach, because if this does lead to a match, then this is just the first chapter. You know, people, you know, and there's, you know, word, you know, what, you know, Meltzer and Alvarez were saying is that, you know, no one believes that there's anything like sign for The Rock to, you know, wrestle at WrestleMania, or especially particularly to wrestle Rusev. But there were the key points is that Rock, while Rock got better of the confrontation, he didn't lay out Rusev with the Rock Bottom and the People's Elbow. He just, you know, knocked him out of the ring, and then, and Rock has, has done these one-off, appearances before where he just destroys a comedy figure. But, this wasn't that. He'll make fun of them, then he'll hit him with the Rock Bottom and the People's Elbow, then he'll celebrate, and, then they'll slink off into the night, never to be seen again. But with Rusev, when he was down on the floor, they followed him all the way up the ramp, and they were, read their lips and the way they were pantomiming. It was in the vein of, "We'll get you next time." He wasn't, they weren't tucking their tail between the race completely. It was, "We'll get you back on our own time."
Right.
When the time is right. So, and if we're still less than 6 months. We're still at, just barely past the 6 month mark. So last night, if a match between them is possible, last night wasn't the time for the beatdown either on The Rock. That can come later. But it was good. And even if this is just a one-off thing and there's not going to be a match, it was still an entertaining segment that I don't think Rusev lost anything in. Because he can just come back, angrier than ever, squash some jobbers, beat the Big Show, and I don't think it will hurt him at all, even if, it does not ever lead to a match between him and The Rock. I know I laid a lot out there, so please,
right,
take the floor.
My main amusement was, because I mentioned it on Twitter, and I got a response from our good friend Dan Keister, that I was like, "So, if The Rock wrestles Rusev, do people expect him to job out to him?" And my main point was, well, then why do people think John Cena should job to him? He told me apples and oranges, and I don't completely disagree with that, because The Rock is just a special guest appearance. I mean, it's just what it is. He is definitely not going to take a loss unless it is to someone very established.
Right, yeah. I mean, and the way they set up the whole thing with Cena, with Rock winning the first match and then Cena winning the next year with the title on the line, that was good and well. But if they do get around to, if it is Rock versus Rusev at WrestleMania, which, there's a lot, that can go on with that. Just in the last month, Rock has signed on for three additional movies. The same period WrestleMania's in is, he's got, a huge international, press tour for, Fast 7. Although a WrestleMania appearance could potentially be tied into that, because, there's tremendous, unlike with the Today Show with Kathleen and Hoda, when it comes to promoting Fast 7, there is a strong demographic craft crossover there with the Raw audience, with the WWE audience, so that could be a tie-in itself, Rock being part of WrestleMania.
Yeah, that guy puts out a shit ton of movies now.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's the busiest man in the world, pretty much.
Yeah, if there is one thing you cannot call that gentleman, and that's lazy.
No, not at all. but though I do think that, if he were to do a match with a guy like Rusev, probably would be the best thing for him, because they could just do it wouldn't be the main event of the show, and it'd be a special attraction. They wouldn't go 25 minutes. It'd be more like, 10 to 15. Very simple, very basic, almost, 80s, porn monster versus the hero match.
I think that he'd benefit from a match like that, and even a match like, I think he has already benefited from the Big Show match. If he does indeed take on John Cena, he'll benefit from that. The thing
Go ahead. dominate this whole thing.
No, well, I guess this is one thing. Like, Rusev always says that he's super athletic, but he hasn't really gotten to prove that, and he couldn't do that against Mark Henry. For as big as the Big Show is, he is far more mobile, and I think that having him wrestle someone like Cena or even The Rock, which is what started this whole thing, I think he would benefit from that because I think he'd get to show off his athleticism more.
Right, absolutely. I think the match, even in a loss, a match with The Rock at WrestleMania would be huge for Rusev. Although I wouldn't do the Cena match first, because unless you're planning on, you know, jobbing Cena on the road to The Rock, which I don't think they're gonna do that. So, but then again, you know, if you know this wasn't you know designed in any, there's not going to be a Rock Rusev match. I have been thinking that Cena probably would be then, if it wouldn't be The Rock, Cena probably would be the right WrestleMania opponent for Rusev.
No.
It might be the one match, the one, you know, the one situation where Cena would not get booed at WrestleMania.
yeah, I still think that there's a possibility that, I think it's inevitable for him to get some jeers, even with Rusev.
Right. That part will always be there. Yeah, but I do think that, you do want Rusev's, the projection for Rusev to peak at WrestleMania with, whatever big match, the biggest match they can have for him on the road. I mean, obviously he's going to be beating the Big Show at Hell in a Cell, or if they want to stretch that one more month, I'm not sure. I think the obvious, angle to take with him is having him win the United States Championship, and then having, Lana, say that, declare that this is now the championship of the Russian Federation, so that, now we're trying to get our the story is, going into WrestleMania, is we're trying to get our title back to the good old US of A.
That would be a fun little thing to run. That would be really, really strange if John Cena is the one trying to rescue the US title.
Well, no, he he's been playing fake Marine for the past 10 years, and it wouldn't be that strange.
I know that he's done that, but that title still is not held in very high prestige.
No, but that would probably be the one thing that would actually bring it up. I would definitely run that angle.
You're sorry about the mic or your voice going up a couple of octaves?
I actually bumped into the table here. you started shaking. Not you, but
the computer. Well, yeah, I guess that is the interesting thing. You can't really have Rusev fight Cena and The Rock really at the same time.
Right, no.
Or in any type of back to back order.
But obviously, if you could make everything in The Rock's schedule, everything line up perfectly, I think you definitely run with The Rock match over the Cena match.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, like you said, it would work better anyway if Cena comes second and he can, it won't be as much of a surprise that he beats him, and it would make more sense then, too, I guess.
Right. I mean, because for me, I'm thinking that this WrestleMania, I don't know how many special attraction guys or maid guys they're gonna have on the show, but I think they should, limit the, big star versus big star matches and do more big star versus, someone newer, so that, one of the stories coming out of WrestleMania is, NXT works.
Oh. Yeah, they, well, I don't know if they'd be able to say that this WrestleMania. I think they'd be able to say that next WrestleMania.
By next WrestleMania, definitely.
Yeah, because I think it's a little too fresh. I mean, I know Rusev came... Oh, I guess the Shield was all down in NXT too, correct?
Right, yeah. They were all down.
Oh, okay. I guess you could probably say that this year. I guess I'm thinking of it more of the current incarnation, I suppose, which is the TV show variety, which is a bit close-minded of my myself.
Is that code for you never watched the show?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, although I'm almost caught up on my regular TV shows, so maybe eventually I'll watch it. There's only so much wrestling I can watch, and I still do...
Cut out that ROH show!
Huh?
Cut out that ROH show!
Yeah, there is that option.
And there's going to be about 90 minutes of DVR space eliminated possibly come January as well. No updates on that front either. None at all. They've got 3 months before, they have to have, I'm making a very kind of an awkward transition to talk about TNA Impact here and their continued television woes with 3 months to go before they are absolutely positively kicked off of Spike TV, and I believe by January 7th is the date they need to be on somewhere.
Oh. Well, yeah, if that leaves, I will definitely have the time to watch NXT. But, yeah, I guess talking about NXT is... a conversation for another time, my good sir. All right. I think we've covered Raw about as well as you can. So, yeah, at Frango11, at Stunt Granny, at Chris Calamedia. Yeah.
And that's MIDIA. Just putting that out there. Just making sure that all the hundreds, if not... thousands of people who, after they listen to me on this show, who want to follow me, and they keep typing in the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they are typing in the wrong thing. Just that they still haven't figured out DeFrango11 yet, so... Don't worry about it. Just go grab yourself a Sleepy Time beer and have a good night, because that'll make you forget about the fans that are definitely there.